Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm. We are back in the building, or taking the talents outside here at the College Campus Tailgate Show. We got y'all for the next 60 minutes or more so we can get everybody out to their respective games here this afternoon. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison Florence next to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do.
Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Man, I don't know how. Like, I got chills, and I'm not even attached to the game, but it's like I personally put myself towards this game. So it's here, Sports City. My guarantee, everything. I'm feeling nervous. The jitters will be taken care of in the next 59 minutes or more. So I got Sports City to help me get through this situation. But to help me get through this, I got my brother and my co-host. I got Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
I was very, very in a very good mood. Until I say the last hour and a half, 2 hours, a certain person that we're going to get into here very soon, and a certain program has really pissed me off already this morning.
Okay, so I had good and bad, and of course, we've been discussing this for quite some time in and out of the kitchen, whether we had our own personal talks going on or stuff going on in the kitchen. So I have the good and bad. Matter of fact, I don't want to take away from your dish. Let me know the school and the topic that you brought to the tailgate today.
What? Let's start Thursday. Let's go back to Thursday. Reports came out that LSU in principle to Tom Herman being the new head coach. Tom Herman was going to be the new head coach. It was supposed, and it could have been as soon as today, that the press conference happened. It was going to happen. There's reports. It was a guarantee. Now, I'm also hearing now on the outside that it was a done deal. He was going to LSU. But it was also in principle that it did not get out or take away from his kids in Houston. Guess what? In today's age, nothing's quiet anymore. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it, it's going to get out. The big four-letter network, we all know them assholes can't keep their mouth shut. They have to break the news before Fox Sports break it. Reports were it got out. Tom Herman contacted LSU, said, I'm out. I'm done. This is going to leak into the other thing that pisses me off. There were reports, too, coming out of Austin, Texas, that Charlie Strong was safe then because the guy they wanted was Tom Herman. Well, now, since Tom Herman's not going to be the head coach at LSU, LSU is hiring Ed Orgeron, a former Miami Hurricane coach, a former USC, assistant and interim coach. and he's been all over. This is wrong. This is wrong on so many points. I am hoping Tom Herman goes to Texas. I hope Texas doesn't win another damn game in his whole career. Lose every game at Texas. I hope them big donors get what they want and it shoves it right up their ass.
So that was actually the good that I had, that Orgeron was the hire in LSU. They were making everything official today. I wanted to see how he felt about it. So that's great that he got his feel on the situation and how everything kind of mixed together. Because of hearing the way the LSU was going, they were going down so many different channels to try and find a head coach, including Jimbo Fisher, which I think was mentioned here before. But Jimbo Fisher backed out, and they asked, LSU actually were trying to give him the money that he wanted to come there. He backed away from it to stay in Florida State, which I respect them because he's staying with his school.
$8 million.
Right. And I feel like he's being honest to those kids instead of just backing out and going to chase the money. I don't know if he did that to be politically correct or, you know, really being the real head coach that he should have been or should be or is down there in Florida State. But the Orgeron hire, especially with his resume, hopefully they could change things around at LSU. I know that their passing game has been missing for quite some time since Les has been down there. It's been a smash-mouth type of offense. Their defense always brings it. So they don't have to fix that situation. If it's not broke, don't fix it. So their defense is, you know, somewhat competitive in the SEC. I think the lone fix that he has to worry about is getting the ball moved in the air consistently. And in the same situation of the big game today in Columbus, Ohio, they also have to win their matchup, whether it takes place in Tuscaloosa or in Baton Rouge. But they do have to knock off Alabama because LSU has been losing and has a losing streak, let me say it the correct way, has a losing streak up against Alabama. So LSU has to get this figured out. Hopefully Orgeron is the guy to get this done, but it depends on how many pieces stay around if he does lose any. I don't know, but we've talked about it before. Fournette leaves or stays. He does have NFL quality and capability, and if a lot of these scouts come after him, he might be a big piece that leaves. But they still have the running back Geist in the backfield as well that can run the ball also. Your thoughts on the state of LSU with Orgeron? Do you think he could turn this around and make them a balanced attack all across the SEC, not just in certain games where they're supposed to win?
I like to hire, but I feel like he's their second choice. Like I said, they wanted Herman from Houston. So since everything leaked out, Herman backed out. So let's just keep it who the players want. I like it. Yes, but it's a wait and see who he brings in to run the offense. Now there are reports coming out that he's bringing back the old band, his crew that he had in USC, Lane Kiffin, and some of these other cats. Can he get Lane Kiffin to jump ship from Alabama to LSU? It's a wait and see.
Give me your thoughts about that, because I'm gonna say this before you do. I don't respect that. If Lane Kiffin were to leave Alabama just to go to LSU because they were cool and had something going on before respectfully get back together, I don't like that. I would not. Well, I already feel a certain way about Lane Kiffin now, but if he were to make that move to go to LSU and help them beat the team that he's respectively sitting on top of the nation with, I challenge that. I don't like it. But your thoughts, if he does end up enticing Lane Kiffin to leave a better situation, leave for a worse situation?
I mean, it's his choice. He can do what he pleases. I'm not trying to say, I mean, I understand why he does it. If he does it, I understand why he does it. Because, I mean, Coach O is his guy. They're buddies. They were at USC together. I mean, And supposedly this is the pitch that got him the job. When he had his meeting, reports were he had stacks of books saying, I'm going to hire this guy for this position. I'm hiring this guy for this position. I'm hiring this guy for this position. I don't know if anybody watched it. That Thursday night game against Texas A&M, I want to know where that offense was at all year long. Where was that offense all damn year long? They threw the ball downfield. They ran the ball well. Defensively, don't even talk, because that was an embarrassment to even say you're an LSU defense after that. But the offense was there. Where's that been all year? If you would have done half of that, no, I won't even give you half. If you did 45% of that against Alabama, you'd have won that game. It's a wait and see who he can bring in to help with the offense. I mean, they're still on top in the top recruiting classes. They're somewhere in the top four, top five recruiting next year. See what he can do.
Okay, so now here comes the bad in all of this, and I'm glad that Tommy started us off that way, and it kind of follows right into it, so I get to segue perfectly with what Tommy said. Now, the bad is Charlie Strong is fired as the Texas head coach, and Tommy was here in the kitchen saying that this situation would come. It just all was a matter of when and how. Texas lost a game up against TCU 31-9, and they just advised him that he was gone. His record there, he was 16-21. He tried his damnedest to try and get this thing turned around. He couldn't get above 500, in which this is something that Tommy was just speaking on their coaching carousel and who comes down there. I think this sets up pretty interesting for Herman to come down there. They probably have this guy pegged to be the head coach as soon as possible. Tommy, your thoughts on the firing of Charlie Strong and their future? Well, I heard how you feel that you want them to look, but their future moving forward with their next hire.
I hate this. And the funny thing is, reports came out as soon as they lost last week. It was running on Twitter, Longhorn Network, Longhorn Football, everything. As soon as Texas lost to Kansas, it seemed like it was running rampant. My Twitter feed just kept blowing up. Charlie Strong's out. Charlie Strong's fired. I was like, wow, really? I was like, it's only about 20 minutes after the game. It's wrong. This guy never had a chance. All reports are that's who it's going to be. Tom Herman. He supposedly LSU and Texas was battling back and forth with his agent, throwing money out. And LSU got to the point they got tired of it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, there's reports they got tired of the battling. Then there are reports that it was a done deal. Now it's Thursday. It got out. Tom Herman left. The only reason, when I say I want Tom Herman there, I don't wish bad on him. This really isn't his fault. This isn't the kids' fault. The kids, when the news came out before the Texas TCU game, it was this earlier this week. It was like, I think he had a press conference Sunday or Monday or whatever it was. Might have been Tuesday. There are reports that the kids wanted to boycott Friday's game. They didn't want to make the game. They didn't want to play. These kids quit. They knew before yesterday's game he was gone. They knew it. And this is what pisses me off is everything was out. He was gone. The president, the AD kept saying, well, we have to wait and see. There's no truth to this. Really? You knew damn well Charlie Strong. You made Charlie Strong stand up there in a press conference. You could tell on his face he was gone. But he had to sit there. You pretty much embarrassed this guy. The only thing good coming out of this is he's getting $10 million because you still have to pay the man his money. But for the big-time donors that wanted him gone, I hope they get their man, and I hope they lose just to show it to their faces and see how fast they turn on Harmon.
And it's tough because we respect Tom Herman as a coach, but if he goes there, in all honesty, I think that he's definitely going to end up turning this thing around and doing a better job than what Charlie Strong was given. But there was so much of a magnifying glass and so much scrutiny on him. But, I mean, you can't really blame them because he was losing games and giving up big point totals and couldn't really get the team direction in the way that they wanted to. They came up with a big win early in the season and really didn't build off of that. But I think the all-telling story of everything, and maybe he lost the locker room when it went down, but when they lost to Kansas, I mean, there's nothing else that anybody could say because of the way that Kansas plays football. Whether he lost the team or if he didn't care anymore because he was already hearing the notion that he was out of the door. But to lose by a field goal to Kansas, where Kansas struggled to score up against any team, let alone in the Big 12 in itself, speaks volumes. So I think that once they lost the TCU cross-state battle, I guess they had to show him the door. But I'm mixed up about it. Not only, just like Tyree said, he'll end up getting the money from the contract, but wondering where he may go across the college landscape is where I'm worried about his next move may go. Because you know there's going to be an opening somewhere this season. I don't think he'll be out of a job long. I think that they'll probably pick him up at the beginning of winter and see where he could actually make a difference elsewhere. I don't know if he'll be a head coach, but I think he could definitely be a coordinator. If somebody takes a shot at him being a head coach, watch out, because I definitely want to see him turn any organization around or university, excuse me, and have them be a winner and potentially possibly end up meeting a Texas team. That would be all a telling story at the end of the day.
And he didn't lose that locker room. Them players wanted him. They did not want to play because of the donors and the way they were treating Charlie Strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In which
Texas is bad. And not to cut you off, we can move on after this. Texas has been bad, the last 3 years of Mack Brown. And they've never been the same.
Okay, well, just like Tommy mentioned at the beginning of the show, there were some games that were played from Thursday through Friday, in which Thursday, LSU took care of business up against Texas A&M. I really feel bad because without Knight, it's a different Texas A&M team offensively. But they did put up a strong scoring effort in the fourth quarter where they had to try and come back in this game. But LSU, just like Tommy said, were scoring the ball at an enormous clip. Geis, the running back, had 285 yards rushing in a 54-39 matchup. I can't really say ma'am because Texas A&M made this game interesting late, but LSU still had this game well in hand. Tom, your thoughts as LSU approaches next season with Orgeron noted as their head coach, taking care of business up against Texas A&M, in Texas no less also.
I don't understand. What can I say that I haven't already said? I'm happy for Coach Ed for that win. I just wish he would have opened it up more this year. Not wait till the last game. The offense looked good. Now, of course, it was A&M. I mean, Texas A&M couldn't stop a high school, a very good high school team, I don't think.
I mean,
A&M couldn't stop a fly if they had to. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say. Maybe this is what the offense is going to look like next year. Because I really do not see Fournette coming back. I look for him to be gone. Who knows? Maybe he'll come back for his senior year with the ankle and prove a point. I don't know. If I was him, I'd come back. I really would come back. Come back healthy, put on a good senior year and everything else. Because he was hurt most of the year with that ankle.
Because if he comes back, I think he's a strong threat for the Heisman, especially the way that he's been running the past 2 years. But his injuries have been looming. It's just to see if he can stay out there on the field consistently. And you know that's the long way that a lot of these defenses are going to take him down is by his leg. So that is on the line at the end of the day. But still, yeah, they still ran the ball successfully up against Texas A&M, but they're not noted to being the if you will, powerhouse defense. Their offense is what gets them started and sparked, and rightfully so. And they almost, I might as well say it's 40. They had 39 points, 40 points put up against LSU's defense. That's saying something, especially being at home, too. They tried, but LSU came out, and it just was too much for them. Another game to mention, which had top 25 on the line in it, too, the Huskies are proving that they are back. After having a questionable couple of games, they went out there and stormed the Washington State Cougars 45-17. They slowed Falk down. This is what impressed me after the game went down yesterday. Tommy, your thoughts on the Huskies stating their claim that they're back and on top of the Pac-12 as they should be?
Didn't really see a whole lot of games after the, I say, 12 o'clock games? Was that getting ready to go to a high school football quarterfinal game? I figured they'd win this big. I mean, Washington still's got a shot. This team is legit. I'm really praying Utah wins today. So we can get a rematch of USC and Washington. Washington's a legit team, but can they get over the hump playing a team that can match them with USC?
So if Utah loses, you think that the situation is given to Colorado? You think Colorado is the standalone team out there?
I don't know if you – I really don't see – I think Washington wins the Pac-12 then. Championship. If they play Utah, if they play Colorado.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. So we'll move along because there was a couple of upsets that went down in the games yesterday. So Iowa took care of business up against Nebraska. Nebraska only putting up 10 in this matchup. Iowa's been doing this throughout the season. They beat Michigan. They beat Nebraska. We were in this kitchen talking junk about Iowa, and me too. I can't even act like I'm going to dodge a bullet. I was the one saying, you know what, I was talking junk last year about Iowa and how good they ran the table, and everybody was like, that's fool's gold, Ty. Don't believe the hype behind the Hawkeyes. These guys are not what they're meant to be. Well, they're beating big-time quality teams. Nebraska's sitting at 16. I mean, they're not in the top 10, but still yet they're ranked. Iowa creamed them 40-10. At least scoring every quarter on these guys. Tommy, your thoughts on this matchup as Nebraska falls on the road?
It just shows how good Nebraska really isn't, pretty much. I mean, you go to Iowa and you're a top – what, they were a top 10 team? You go to an Iowa and you can't win. Wow. I'm sorry. You had a chance to. All you had to do, I believe, is all they had to do was win. And they were going to play whoever's going to win this other side. I believe it's Ohio State. I really think Ohio State gets into the Big Ten championship. And we'll get that pretty much. That pretty much gives you away my two picks.
Yeah, he's already, and I should have been writing these down too as he was saying them, but he's right. I'm not going to write them down. I'm going to go over them anyway. So you just wait. But in turn, it is very interesting in the Big Ten right now. A lot of games largely show what's going to go down in these championships as well. For this last game, it all come down to this point in time. Another matchup that I want to speak on as well, Boise State. They had one loss suffered earlier this season. This is their second loss, but this one was on the road up against Air Force. Air Force took care of business 27-20. I think it's something about that option that gets teams confused, and Boise State couldn't figure it out. Tommy, your thoughts with the Broncos falling to the Air Force?
Once again, it's Boise playing with the fire. They've done it all year long, playing games that they should take care of business easy, and they slip by. Colorado State is the one. They slip by. Then turn around, go to Wyoming, mess around, and lose. I don't understand this team, this Boise team this year. I mean, you lose by 7, but I really don't know what to say.
And this is what, you know, a lot of the committee and people on the outside looking in look at Boise State in this manner, is when they lose these type of games to people within their own conference, when they start running the table, people wait for them to lose. And this is always going to be the makeup on Boise State for them to continue to win out. If they lose one of these critical games anywhere in their season, of course it's a, you know, a shot in the foot, if you will, but also they're going to continue to look at them as they haven't played anybody yet. When they play somebody strong, then we'll give them consideration. So they've already lost a game before this, and then losing the Air Force on the road is big, and I wonder if they stay in the top 25. Hell, I actually question both of them, being Nebraska and Boise State, where they will end up judging these guys. I think Nebraska will stay in the top 25, Boise being a 19th-ranked team. I wonder how far they fall out in another team that we just went over, Washington State. The way that they've been actually playing good ball, with them losing, they potentially could fall out of the top 25 as well.
Wow.
Depending on how.
We got breaking news. Reports are coming out, Texas to hire Houston coach Tom Herman to same position.
So as we were mentioning it, it's going down. So your thoughts on that situation down there in Austin?
Congratulations. Congratulations, donors. Congratulations. Now I hope you get everything that you – all that money you go spend out and throw out to whoever. I hope he loses every game now. And I feel sorry. I feel sorry for those kids in Houston, too. Because he's going to sit there – before the game today or yesterday against Memphis, that you could tell defensively they didn't show up at all. They knew he was gone. He comes in there at an interview. Well, what do you think about this LSU job? I have no comment. I don't know what you're talking about. Blah, blah, blah. What about the Texas job? I don't know what you're talking about. There's been no talks to nothing. This right here is why I don't trust and believe any of these coaches. Just like I don't believe any of these kids in high school that are committing to these schools until they sign the dotted line in February, because they say something and then turn around next minute, they decommit to somewhere else. I feel sorry for them kids in Houston. And those kids that he recruited to come to Houston – Now, are they going to flip and go follow him in Texas? So pretty much Houston's going to go back to being what Houston was.
Wow.
You know what I'd like to see? To see? Houston go back after Charlie Strong. And then he wins. And then he puts Texas on the schedule, and they whoop them in Austin.
That would be so crazy. That would be one of the craziest scenarios ever. You know what, Houston? Listen to Tommy B. I actually love that. I actually love that idea. And I don't know if he would go after Strong, but it'd be an interesting hire. It would. And seeing if he can inspire these. He already have one building block already to inspire these kids, that their coach went to the better job. Can't lie. Can't sit here and act like, you know, Texas being one of the premier colleges across the board. That's why a lot of people could push you out the door or keep you there, depending on how you're doing at that point in time for the respective university. But if they were to go after Charlie Strong and he put them on the schedule, Houston has enough offense to make it bang up against Texas, so that would be interesting. And it's in the state, too, however it went down. Whether they played at a neutral field, whether they played at, you know, in Austin, or if they played in Houston, I don't feel like there was too much travel that they need to go through, let alone the bulletin board material if that game were to go down. But I do like that situation. But in which, speaking of Houston, the game that went down yesterday, Memphis upset. I don't even know if I could really call this an upset, because Memphis has actually been playing good ball this season, but they beat Houston on senior day. The Tigers take care of the Cougars 48-44, in which Houston was trying to turn this game back into an interesting game, because Memphis had a good lead going into half, watching this one late last night. Greg Ward, and it's funny, too, I'm going to get into this. Greg Ward threw for damn near 70 passes. He had 67 attempts, so this is crazy in itself. But in which, we just seen this Houston team on senior day take out Louisville. And now they come back around and play Memphis and are floored until the second half and started scoring the ball. But it was too little too late for me to say the best about this. Tommy, your thoughts on this game and the situation that Houston put themselves in on their third loss of the season?
I got to see second quarter on it, because the Canes basketball team had a game. I don't know. I think Louisville hit a buzzsaw. I really do. I think that Houston put everything in. Plus, it was at home. They had the crowd. That place was hostile. I think yesterday's game against Memphis, with all that noise going around with Tom Herman this and everything, I think a lot – I can't say a lot of the players, because the offense did put up almost 50. I think the defense checked out. I think a lot of those kids checked out. They had nothing else really to play for. Think about it. This team was talked about going undefeated, running away in the American, could possibly be in the 14 playoff. And then when they lost to Navy, everything crashed. Then they lost, I can't remember who else they lost to at home. This was a no-win. I really think they knew Tom Herman was gone. With all that talk that happened Thursday, and he could say what he wanted. But I really think they checked out.
I just wonder how Houston looks, you know, going into the bowl game if you know, they play sluggish and whoever they end up matching up with. But Memphis did come out senior day and hold the fort as much as they could up against Houston, because Houston was trying to make a comeback and get into this one. But Memphis did what they could to damn near put up 50 points on a very interesting offense. But just like I said, Ward coming out having a good game up against Lamar Jackson in Louisville, coming up against Memphis and having the same type of game, but fighting his way back to get back into this game. It's just awkward to see how Houston was one of those tough teams that you didn't think would be able to lose until the latter part of the season, where they did start to hit those speed bumps and things start to fall apart. But Memphis, I tip my cap, because I actually would have pegged Houston to go in there and win this game. I sure would have went against the grain and said that they would have won on your senior day, but they respected that house. Last one of the top 25 matchups, which I really don't feel like is a surprise. I'm happy that they took care of their business. But Western Michigan winning at home, senior day up against Toledo, 55-35. Tommy, I know this is no surprise of a game, and I know a lot of people don't get to watch what Western Michigan does. They took care of business within their conference. They score crazily all throughout the season. They've been putting up points on the board, and they still won't get the respect from the committee because they're a MAC team. Your thoughts on Western Michigan winning out, and how do you see that they're fit to fit, you know, in one of these bowl games, like who they potentially will end up playing, things of that nature?
Congratulations, not a big surprise. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost next week in the MAC championship. With all this talk, there's going to be talk around them with the playoffs and who they New Year's Eve bowl and everything. I hope they win. I hope they go undefeated and they go to one of these New Year's Eve bowls. And then they get smashed straight in the mouth when they play one of the big boys. I'm sorry. Take the other way, they're a MAC school. Yeah, I know. They're not going to compete with some of these teams that are in that tops. I'm sorry. It's not happening.
Okay, well, fair enough, because I want to see how they can rank them high. I mean, they are taking care of business, but to have them still below 20, like, come on, let's be real here. Give them 14 or something. They're taking, because this is similar to what, and I hate to bring up so far back of the past, but this is similar to what happened 13 years ago. In 2003, you had an undefeated Miami, Ohio, respectively ran by Benjamin Roethlisberger, and nobody knew about him until he got to the pros, and people had to worry about, this guy is for real. He was for real the whole time, but nobody would give Miami of Ohio credit because, one, everybody knew about Miami and Florida at that point in time because they were still a powerhouse in 03. Like, you still had to worry about them, and they rightfully are a Division I team, so... Granted, the one thing that does raise my eyebrows is that they gave up 35 points to Toledo. Even though Toledo had a good season this year, they did give up 35 points, but they did what they needed to do, and I hope they get a quality game for people to take note. But I definitely know that they won't be a playoff team, and the committee won't. I think the committee won't even put them as far as 13. Like they ran the table in their respective conference, but I hope they get out of the 20s at least. Okay. So.
You know what? I also want to say, since a lot of people on this show, chef-wise, want to turn around and diss Rod Rodriguez, congratulations on that win last night against Arizona State. Congratulations.
True.
So I guess if Rodriguez fired, now since everybody wants to fire Rodriguez, I guess you better fire the guy at Arizona State since you lost to a guy that supposedly can't win.
Right. Both of them need to be out the door. 1-8, that's Rich's only win in the conference, and Arizona State's been struggling. They're 2-7 in the conference. Both of them should be in line to look for work elsewhere because they're not helping these teams get anywhere. I mean, granted, Arizona did put up 56 and scored the ball at an enormous clip last night, but I'm not – you're right, I am one of them people, but I'm not excusing Rich Rodriguez. Three wins on a season? No. I'm not giving him that at all. But this is a big win for him, yes. I guess to inspire the seniors and – Arizona State playing questionably also. That's all I can give them. But both of them, I'm right on pace with you. Both of them need to be looking for a job. Both of them.
And that got a place that Charlie Strong could go, and he'd be a coordinator. Who fired their defensive coordinator halfway through the year? That defensively was bad. They got all that talent. Miami played them on the schedule.
And they fired a D coordinator in the midst of the season. Go ahead and say it.
Nope. Notre Dame.
So you feel like he can go there and be a coordinator?
He can go there and run that defense. But with a lot of stuff that's going on in Notre Dame, now I know I've been on the Shifchin, and I've said Brian Kelly will be safe. The AD's come out and said he's been safe. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff that's happened under him. I mean, they just got the 2012-2013 games all vacated. They've lost every game. So I guess
right.
Al Golden's biggest win has actually been a loss. But, hey, I guess Al Golden will take a win however he can get it. They've got all that stuff on the off season that happened. They've had all the, I mean, all kinds of stuff. I still think he stays for one more year, but don't be surprised if Brian Kelly's the next big coach to get fired, because there's a lot of stuff that's happened under his watch there.
Your thoughts on them? Actually, that's another topic before I get into those games. Your thoughts on Notre Dame having to vacate those wins from 2012 to 2013 season?
I see nothing wrong with it at all. And then what gets me is how Brian Kelly blames somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault when it's Brian Kelly's the head coach. Just like earlier this year when they kept getting beat. Brian Kelly wanted to blame the defensive coordinators, and he threw his players under the bus. There's been all kinds of stuff that's going on. I can't remember everything right now. I know there was one big thing that happened a couple years ago. And he blamed, I see nothing wrong with it. You're cheating. Okay? You are cheating. Congratulations. And that was the same year they went to the national championship and lost to Alabama. So I guess technically Alabama didn't play anybody now in the national championship game. They played
themselves. Right. It's terrible. I mean, when he's telling the truth, he's not terrible.
So do we go back, pull all those players back from Alabama, and then pull the next team that would have been in line and play that all over again? I mean, I know I'm kind of funny. I mean, but, hey.
All of them are in the league right now, including Manti Te'o. And I'm trying to be funny also. If you know the Manti Te'o joke that I'm trying to throw out, I won't even get into it. Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. Been not too many games left because some of these games that we mentioned before have already been played within the top 25. Interesting enough, me and Tommy actually talked about this outside of the kitchen. I really feel like this won't be a hard question to ask. The Battle of Kentucky, who wins, Kentucky or Louisville? And this is what me and Tommy are talking about. Louisville falling out of the top 10. This is the funny part, that they have two losses. They fall out of the top 10, but then you watch that same situation happen to Wisconsin. They didn't. Or with Tennessee at that point in time had that happen. They didn't as well. These are where the flaws lie with the committee, but it's unfortunate that Louisville is definitely on the outside looking in of the top 10. Your thoughts on this, or better yet, let me do this like this, because it's in Louisville, so I don't even want to just say both of us just say Louisville. Do they cover the 26.5 spread?
Yes. Give me the Cards in the ACC over the SEC.
I agree with him. I'm also going with the spread for them to cover that amount of points, and I'm going with Louisville also. Tommy's already given his pick. I'm going to let him restate his. Tommy, the battle in the shoe, who do you like and why?
Going with Ohio, fuck guy state. I still don't know who the quarterback's going to be for Michigan. I don't see it. I'm going with the fuck ass.
Okay, and which I am going to go with Michigan. Like I said, September 21st to book it. I can't back away from it now. With their issues that they have going into this game, I still believe Michigan has that defense to somewhat contain Ohio State. Ohio State has had some of these struggle games also with some of the teams that they played and surviving the storm, if you will. But I'm going to go with Harbaugh to get this done. I can't back away from it. I'm literally, 2 months and 5 days hanging on to the guarantee in which I'm looking at this. Spate is warming up for Michigan, so he's out there on the field and dressed. He has to give it a go. He has to. I mean, regardless if he's injured or not, he has to give it a go. He has to. Jake Butt, all of those guys, they got to show up big today up against Ohio State. I called it. I said book it. So I'm sticking with it. I'm going with the Wolverine. So we already have our division going on in the kitchen. Here goes another interesting Big Ten game, Tommy. It's interesting, too. Michigan State going into Happy Valley up against Penn State. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
I'm going Michigan State. Now, Big Ten wants, I'm telling you right now, the screw job's in for Penn State. Penn State, all they've heard is all week since Tuesday when the rankings came out. What happens if Penn State goes and wins? Do they jump everybody and get in? Penn State this and that. That's all you've heard. I'm telling you. They want a rematch. The Big Ten's going to want a rematch of Wisconsin, Ohio State in that Big Ten championship game tomorrow. Give me Michigan State. Michigan State has nothing to play for. They really have nothing to lose. If Michigan wins, Penn State's done anyways. Ohio State wins, watch see if there's not some fishy calling in that game. The only problem is it sucks because Miami plays the same damn time as this game.
Get your review button ready on the remote control. I repeat, get your review button ready on the remote control. I am disagreeing with Tommy. I'm going with the Nittany Lions to take care of business up against Michigan State. Mark D'Antonio, I don't know how this thing will pan out for you after having this type of season. Whether you win this game and go 4-8 or end up losing and ending up 3-9, this is very questionable. With one win on the season in the Big Ten, and that was up against, drum roll please, Rutgers. Like, everybody beat Rutgers. So I'm not even, like, giving you credit for that one win in the conference, because between you guys, Ohio State, and Michigan, I think I'm missing one more team. The total of the scores were, like, over 200 points. But in between those three teams that I mentioned, being Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State up against Rutgers, they put up 185 points to nothing. So that one win within the conference is fool's gold to me, at least to me. But like I said, so far we have two games that me and Tommy went different directions, so that's cool. We got something to talk about tomorrow. It'll be very interesting. Minnesota, Wisconsin. Wisconsin 6th ranked in the nation. Another Big Ten matchup. Tommy, your thoughts on this one? Do the Gophers get this one done to put an upset on Wisconsin up there in Camp Randall, or do the Badgers take care of business?
Wisconsin wins this.
Yeah, I'm not even going to fiddle-faddle around. I am agreeing with my brother right there. I'm going with the Badgers also. If Minnesota pulls this off, I tip my cap because they do have a passing attack that could override the front seven of Wisconsin. I hope they can get their passing game started. I doubt it. 25th ranked Navy up against SMU down there in Texas. Tommy, who do you like, the Navy again, or are you going with SMU to even it out and end up 500 on the season?
Man, wasn't expecting this one to be on the board. You know what? Give me SMU.
Whoa. He went with the Pony Express? Oh, man. This is a tough one. I'm going with Navy. I'll go with Navy. Tommy and them did it to me the other time when Navy won that game. And the interception to the house was by a kid named Powell. I don't know if he'll end up being a end-all player in this game, but I'm going with Navy anyway, just because, man. And SMU, they have to show me that they can stay. And they have a passing attack that probably could challenge Navy. But if Navy does get down, they have to fight their way to get back in this game. I'm going with Navy, though. I'm not going to talk up too much of my pick on this one. Interesting matchup right here because it is taking place in Ames, Iowa. We have the Mountaineers sitting at 18th in the nation. I feel so sorry for you people in West Virginia. I feel sorry because just the way that the season went down, you guys started losing late. Up against Iowa State, in which Iowa State plays a lot of teams tough at home. They do play a lot of teams tough there. Tommy, who do you like, home sweet home or Iowa State and the Cyclone?
Oh, man. Iowa State plays West Virginia tough every year in Iowa City. So, I still don't like Scott Howard. He's awful. He's horrific. Give me the Mounties. Give me the Mountaineers.
Okay,
I need their defense to win.
He went home, and I'm going with him, and I thank Tommy for that because as soon as he told me to start watching Mountaineer football, I started watching him, and he made me a fan. And the next thing you know, when he makes me a fan of watching them, he falls away from them. So then it's like, wow. Okay, so let me get away from West Virginia. The next matchup I have is one of the rivalries, because this is rivalry day here today. Notre Dame taking their talents to the Coliseum in Los Angeles up against USC. USC has turned this thing around. They are now 12th ranked in the season. Sam Darnold becoming one of the topics of the day, quarterback in the last couple of games as well. Do you think, Tommy, that Notre Dame could get their fifth win on the season, or do they fall to 4-8 and question what's going on with this coaching staff that we've been talking about?
Give me the hottest team right now in college football. All day, every day. Nobody's going to want to play this team. Give me the Trojans.
I agree with him 100%. I already wrote it in while I was talking. I'm putting USC up. If Notre Dame pulls this off, I tip my cap. You guys deserve it. I can't even really say much because I doubt that you guys could actually keep up with this offense. This offense has been scoring at an enormous clip, and rightfully so. I feel bad, but I can be shown up. I can be shown up. Next matchup I have is the Battle of Bama with Auburn. The Tigers going into Tuscaloosa up against the Crimson Tide, Roll Tide Roll. Can Auburn upset everybody in the world or shock the world? Let me say it correctly. Or can they shock the world and knock off the Crimson Tide at home?
Another game I want to watch at 3:30, and it, man, why college football have to do schedule this like this? I always root for more Eagle, always. Part of me is a War Eagle fan, I guess. You could say I'm somewhat of a two-teamer. There's something about Auburn I like, but Alabama wins this football game. Give me the tie. But I will be rooting for the Tigers.
Nah, you know what? I'm going to go with Alabama, but I want to see Alabama get right back to that playoff position up against three other teams that have the qualification to be there, whether the committee selects the right team or not. But I want to see a quality team get it done and not an upset like this at Auburn. Well, they're at home, but up against Auburn, where Nick Saban can't save the season. But it'll be an unfortunate situation if it is to happen in Tuscaloosa. But
if Petway is supposed to be playing, if Petway plays and they can run that football like they have been, This game can get very interesting.
Okay, the next matchup, should I write it? Should I talk about it at all? South Carolina up against Clemson, the battle of the state. Do you feel the Gamecocks could take care of the other Tigers in the SEC? No, no, ACC, I'm bugging. It's SEC, ACC. I'm looking at South Carolina saying SEC. So SEC, ACC matchup. Do you think Clemson takes care of business as the ACC team up against the SEC?
Give me the ACC. 2-0 against the mighty, mighty overrated SEC.
Yeah, I think Clemson takes care of business in his matchup as well. Tennessee versus Vanderbilt, battle of the state as well, another one, another rivalry. Do you think Vanderbilt can actually win this game at home up against Tennessee?
I actually think they can win this. Vandy has a defense. We all know how I feel about Tennessee. They're overhyped. They're overrated. A joke. But I think they have – they do just enough to win this football game.
So you're going to Tennessee as well, correct?
Yeah.
And I am going with the Vols as well. I just don't believe in Vanderbilt at all. I think they stayed below 500. But this could be an upset, though. I do agree with Tommy that this has potential upset written on it. So I'm putting a star next to my pick. Just to say that I knew it as well. I knew it as well. Interesting matchup, just like Tommy talked about a little while ago. Utah on the road up against Colorado. This game, wow, it's a lot on the line right here. The four-corner situation as well with those states sitting in the western region or the mountain region, let me get it correct, of the United States as well. Who do you like, the Utes or the Buffalo?
I want Utah to win. Like, so bad do I want Utah to win. I don't know. Another one of these Pac-12 games to pick. Man. Yeah, can give me Utah. I haven't ridden with them all year. I've disrespected them. They'll probably disrespect me now. They'll probably end up being an embarrassment. But give me Utah.
He's so hilarious. I agree with Tommy. I am going with Utah on the road to pull off this upset up against Colorado. They have an interesting run game, but I don't believe in them. I'm going with the Utes with Tommy. We agree. I don't even want to mention this one. Rice on the road up against Stanford out there in the Bay of California. Do you feel the Owls can take care of the Cardinal or no?
Who?
Rice University.
Give me Stanford.
Let me do it like this. The spread is 35.5. Where do you see? Do you think Stanford blows this team out more than 36 or no? Let's do it like that. Let's have fun with it.
I mean, hell, McCaffrey might score 35 just himself.
Hey.
Name.
Let me know.
Cover.
Do you think they cover?
Yeah.
I'm going to write C next to Stanford. I'm going to agree with Tommy. I think this is Christian's last game. I think he might end up going to the league. I'm going with Stanford to get it done. Last matchup for the top 25, the battle of the upper region of Florida. The Gators, 15th ranked at 8-2. Up against the Florida State Seminoles that sit 8-3. This game is taking place in Tallahassee. Tommy, who do you like in this matchup? Well, who are you picking? I know you don't like any of them. So who are you picking in the matchup and why?
I'm going with the ACC 3-0 this day against the mighty overrated SEC.
I agree with them. I'm going with Florida State as well. If Florida can show me that they can stop Dalvin Cook, they have figured out Florida State. I don't think it happens today. I don't care where they're playing. They can play this in Gainesville. If they can slow down Dalvin, they have figured it out, but I doubt it happens today. Okay, well, it is 12. We are going to shut this thing down. Tommy, give me your plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down at the tailgate.
Good show. Let's see here. How do I put this? Once again, I'm disappointed in Tom Herman. You'll sit there and say this, say that, and then turn around and leave. Thank you to all the seniors that are playing their last game at Miami. Jenkins, Jamal Carter. There's some more that I'm not thinking of right now. Those are two that I really want to thank. They balled out. Stacy Coley, thank you. I'm hoping this isn't Brett Kaya's last home game. I don't know. I hope he comes back, but I understand why he does. If he leaves, he leaves. Be back tomorrow.
I agree with him, man, and shout out to Stacy Coley because I know him well. I don't want to see Bracco, but I know that there's a lot of scouts gawking at him as well. And now he put my heart involved into the show because he's talking about Senior Day down there at South Beach. Of course, I'll be watching this one at 3:30. We'll be back here tomorrow, like Tommy said, at the brunch, locked and loaded on these picks. Me and Tommy went a different way on a lot of these games, so somebody going to be mad. I got to get to Edwin Tommy at least here. At least here to catch up some ground, man. I got to catch up some ground because he's been slapping me around here, but I got him last week. I got him. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. As mentioned, we will be back here tomorrow at the Sunday morning brunch, getting everything right in front of week 12. Let me get it right. Week 12. Everybody's on their 11th game at this point in time. So week 12 is amongst us. There were a couple of games that were played on Thanksgiving. We will be talking about those as well and how these teams stand at this current point in time also. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What a thought. What a thought. I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down. We gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'm
gonna
make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.